My name is Akua Jamfi, founder of the British Blacklist and also co-founder of The Circle.
My name is Leon Main. I am a writer, producer and founder of BWG Limited. I am a carpenter.
You do this. Go on.
I'm a philanthropist. I am a carpenter. I'm a writer. I'm a producer, director, I edit. It's a lot. It's a lot to juggle.
Can I just add in some more bits? I'm a writer, producer, mother, black woman, queen. Do you see? Our guest is excited.
I know.
She's happy about my accolades. I'm also a carpenter, better carpenter than Leon.
It's a lie.
And what is The Circle, Leon?
It's a series that brings together black and Asian talent across film and television and streaming. We shine a light on the incredible talent that not necessarily don't get the opportunity to be shown, but there's always a conversation about there being a lack of people in front of them behind the screen, and we don't put enough spotlight on the people that are doing amazing things. So this is what The Circle's all about.
This is a very, very true fact that you're saying.
I know.
Can we introduce our special guest today, please? Because she's trying to L out on us. She's trying to kick out because she's busy.
True.
Please introduce yourself, my love.
My name is Tahira Sharif, and I am an actress. I am a queen.
Yes.
I am sometimes nervous. Right now, I'm a bit hot and sweaty. Should I keep on going on?
I mean, you can if you've got
why,
more.
Why are you hot and sweaty?
I don't think all of my things can quite compare to like you guys.
Oh, come on, please.
I mean, probably surpass Leon. Not me, but you could definitely top Leon's accolades. Okay. Hold on, please explain why you're hot and sweaty for all the listeners
I'm not just randomly hot and sweaty. So at the minute, I'm in Marrakesh in Morocco, where it's currently about, I mean, it's 7:15 at night, and it's still like 26 degrees Celsius, which is very hot.
Yes.
So in the daytime, it's like 30. And I've turned off my air conditioning because I don't want it to make noise over this this interview. So.
Oh, sorry.
So it's our fault you're sweating.
Sorry. I did it for you guys.
Do you have water in front of you?
I do have some water, yes.
That's all right.
Is it ice water? Even in hot weather, do you drink ice water or room temperature?
I'm more of a room temperature kind of gal.
I cannot.
Yeah. Like if I'm drinking something like a juice or another type of drink that's not water, then yeah, I want it to be ice cold. But I don't know, yeah, water, I'm room temperature kind of person.
I'm a full F. Ice water.
Oh yeah, you eat ice.
I eat ice.
You're so weird.
Yeah, it's so weird. So many people do.
No, ice is like a delicacy. And there's different textures. I could go on, but it's not about me. Let's jump into it because you got to, why? Okay, let's just ask you, why you got to go? Why can't you just stay and talk to us all night? What are you doing?
Oh, Lord. Well, literally, even though it's 7:15, the costume designer just messaged me and was like, can you come by and try on some shoes and some clothes? And I was like, I actually can't, but I'm going to have to go and do that afterwards. Fair. So these people are not, there's no like 9 to 5 or this to this. It's just like, you're here. So you're on the clock.
Oh, really? So when do you clock off? Like, can you clock off? Like, actually, no, I'm not trying on shoes. I'm going to bed.
That's a whole other conversation.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, cool. So what was it that made you want to get into the industry, Tahira?
Sheer stupidity. No, I'm joking. I think like as far back as I can remember, as a little kid, I always liked watching films, like all types of films. My mum had a whole library of films from old Indian movies to sci-fi movies to kung fu movies from the 70s, like everything. And so I grew up watching like a very vast amount of different genre of film. And I was always like amazed at the stories, like regardless of the genre. I also loved reading a lot. And so I liked using my imagination. And because my mum didn't really encourage like, you know, just mindless watching of television, or like we didn't have computer games or none of that. It was like Scrabble, you know, board games and stuff. And then a lot of the time me and my big sister would play, we would play like makeup games, like a lot of kids did, innit? And like use your imagination and I don't know, go on little adventures or whatever. And so I remember like, I'd always liked to do that with my sister. And when I got older, I remember thinking, it dawned on me and I thought, acting is kind of just another form of play and using your imagination. And it was always something that I really enjoyed. And so just like as I got older, it was kind of like, okay, let me try and pursue this, because it's, I just believe that like any, whatever you truly like enjoy doing in life, like whether you're going to do it as a career or not, just do it, like just do it. And it just so happened I didn't actually start acting professionally for quite a long time. I was doing it because I just genuinely enjoyed it and enjoyed like the craft of it and learning. And then it just, yeah, naturally kind of progressed into my career.
You mentioned mum wasn't having it. She weren't letting you sit in front of the TV and mindlessly watch all the TV shows. So what was that like? What was your mum's influence in you growing up? And was that kind of in whatever she instilled in you, did that prepare you for the career path that you embarked on?
I think, interestingly, with my mum, she was always very like, very encouraging of like anything that us, me and my sister wanted to do or did. But I think she kind of wanted me to, you know, probably steer me in a more academic route. She was an English teacher and acting was fun and something kind of that you did as a hobby more. I don't know that she really understood, like, especially at the time, like when I was like, I want to be an actor. She didn't really quite understand that it was, I don't know, like how to even get into this industry, or she wanted things to be easy for me. And I completely understand and appreciate that now. But like my sister was the one, she was very encouraging of like this career path and kind of like others in my family and stuff like that. So I think she, with my mum, it was just more, she didn't want me to be broke. Like she literally said fair. This the other day. Yeah.
This is fair.
In terms of her influence, I don't know that I can say her influence kind of had an impact on my work, but it definitely has had an impact on how I approach my work.
Sure.
And how I conduct myself. Like, definitely, 100%.
I mean, English teacher. I wanted to be an English teacher when I was growing up because I'm fantastic at English. I just wanted to throw that in there, just so everybody knows I'm brilliant at English. Go on.
Thank you for that. So, like, how were you able to kind of navigate the industry? So, I'm always told that there's kind of like a starting birth for actors. They go through the soap route, whether it's Doctors or Casualty. Was that the beginning of your journey?
Is that, and also just to jump into that, is that something that you kind of know that that's what you have to do? Do you aspire to that, or was it like, I'm not doing them shows, I'm gonna go straight to, I don't know, whatever show?
Do you know what, I think it's a bit different now. I think like for this next generation of actors, yeah, they probably don't have to do the Doctors and the Casualties and the Holby Cities, you know, unless they want this, that's what they want to do. I think kind of when I started, it was just like, that was just a thing that like, those were the kind of shows that you cut your teeth on, you know what I mean? You got the experience. And I had a fantastic time when I was on Casualty. I had a great time and I learned an incredible amount, because there's nothing that can prepare you in terms of being taught in a classroom for when you get onto a set, and a set like those where, and Casualty is not even like Doctors or EastEnders where like those things are on every single day and they're shooting like bam 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 bam, like there's no time to breathe, whereas Casualty was once a week. But you're moving at such a fast pace, you're having to learn lines like in a flash, make any amendments, you know, get onto set prepared, know your lines, and just be ready to roll. Like there's no rehearsal time, there's none of this, that kind of stuff. And even though that is not like, it's not the most, for me anyway, it wasn't the most enjoyable, I guess, like form of acting. Like as an actor, you want to, of course, you want to like hone your character, you want to rehearse, you want to write a backstory, you know, like you want to really get your teeth into this, the project and the character, and you're be allowed time on set to really flesh out the performance. Mm. So, you know, you get the best take possible. On those shows, that's not always possible. There's not enough time. And so you just got to be prepared and ready. But what that does do is if you start off on them kind of shows, like then when you get onto something where, you know, you've got, I don't know, a couple of weeks rehearsal before you start filming, and you normally get given like 2 weeks to film like a 45 minute episode, whereas Casualty you're given 5 days maybe to film one episode, and it moves so quickly. But it really does, it just sets you up for other jobs down the line. So I would never knock those jobs at all. I think they're fantastic and a great way to learn.
So has race played a part, or does race play a part in the roles that you take? Because also, even though you wouldn't knock those roles, especially in the work that I do, in looking at everyone's CV, everyone black or of colour, they've got these shows on their CV, and then there's a quiet period where they're trying to find roles, because then the racism kicks in and there's not enough roles to fit the black folks in, or in lead roles, or roles that command a whole series or something like that. So was there any consciousness about your race playing into the roles that you wanted to take, or the roles that you were getting, and going forward in general, the roles that you pick, is race important, like a racial theme, or, you know, the characters really representing the race in some way?
First of all, so to that point, no, I don't. For me, I don't think that's necessary, that I have to pick a role where the race is kind of the most important thing, because I'm an actor at the end of the day, and I'm acting, I'm portraying a character that isn't myself. Now, the character is going to be black because I'm black. Like, that's not, do you know what I mean? There's no other way around that. But I just don't want that to be the kind of most important thing. I feel like, thankfully, especially with television, we're kind of moving away from that. You know, man, I remember reading scripts or reading breakdowns, and it was like, oh, you know, like, whenever there was a character that was white, it was never said that they were white.
Mm. Right.
Whenever there was a character that was, you know, meant to be black or Asian, it said, oh, Tatiana, 23, black/Asian/mixed race or whatever. And it was like, why can't it just be a character that happens to, is just like a policewoman or a mother or a prisoner that is also just happens to be black, because you cast that particular actress or actor in that role. So obviously, like, you know, as an actor, you read a load of scripts, and I feel like that's happening more and more, whether or not things are being actually cast that way, without race in mind, I don't know, because I'm not behind the scenes, but I would hope so. Do you know what I mean? And like, to your point, is kind of like referring to my race or something an important part when I'm picking characters. As I said before, no, it's not primarily. Do I try to make these roles as authentic as possible to my experience as a black woman in real life? Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, for example, it's just something small, but if you know, if the character's sleeping or going to bed or whatever, like, naturally I wrap my head, hair at night and go to bed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's maybe not going to occur. That's not going to be written in a script, because if it's not written or directed or produced by a black person, which 9 times out of 10 it's not, that's not going to be in the script, and no one in makeup or costume is going to either. That's not really going to occur to them.
Sure.
So you as the actor go, oh no, but this is how we do this person would go to bed. But, you know, at the same time, like, if the character wouldn't wrap their hair, then I'm not going to force it. Do you know what I mean? So I just always try to stay kind of authentic to whatever character I'm playing.
That's fair.
Was that something that you had to deal with when you were on Waterloo Road?
I'm trying to think now. Waterloo Road. No, you know what? Waterloo Road was, because it was set in a school, and you didn't, with my character, actually, I don't think you ever really saw her outside of the school environment, apart from when she was kind of like with her family, who kind of also somehow were in the school, in the kind of school environment. That never really came up in that show, actually. I remember just being really pleasantly surprised when they cast Reggae as my brother and Nadine Marshall as my mom.
Okay.
Because I was like, wow, you know, like, I remember we'd take photographs and it would be like, okay, we actually, like, we look like a legit family. you know what I mean? Like, they actually did that quite well for once. But no, it didn't come up. Actually, maybe for Nadine it may have, because I remember, like, I think they kind of had written her as this opinionated, I don't want to say aggressive because I don't think that was the word, but something like that, like, black mother,
sassy,
and, and it was just like, come on guys, like, no, not every black woman's like that. And sure. So I do remember she'd have words with people.
So Waterloo Road obviously was. What did I say?
I don't know what that was.
Waterloo Road was obviously a huge series. What was it like for you at the time? And what were some of the teachable moments for you as an actress in that, you know, yeah, being in something like that?
So,
you're smiling so cheekily. Wagwan, what is this?
Is it something?
I don't know, man. Like, do you want the truth?
Or
do you
absolutely want the truth. Real talk.
Give us the truth, and then tomorrow when you say, Leon, you have to edit this out, then it's fine.
I will literally.
Yeah.
Go on.
Give us the truth.
So, I had a bit of a difficult time on that shoot.
Okay.
And I don't know whether it was because it was like the first time I'd been away from living away and working, because living is different. Like, when you're working away from home somewhere else and in any small town in the north of Scotland somewhere. Literally, let me get this straight, nobody in the town was hostile. It wasn't that. It was just being in a small town where, like, you and your castmate were like the only black people in the entire town, and people just staring at you, and not with any hostility. It was just like,
what's
just
this?
Staring, yeah. Like, oh, what the hell's like? Why are they? Not why they're here, but they just think we were just some kind of like anomaly to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was difficult for me at the time, and working and getting onto set, and I guess like we actually filmed in a real school, and you spent like maybe 10 hours of the day, of the shooting day in a school uniform.
Wow.
And so naturally what happened was crew and other cast members who were teachers and whatever, everyone kind of took on this role that they were playing, and people kind of did just treat you like a kid.
Okay.
Like, right.
Yeah.
School. And it was like, no, I'm an adult, But they would just forget. And and it happens a lot on sets where crew will just call you by your character name, and it was like, oh, it just I remember feeling like really frustrated and not the happiest person. And I think back then I probably dealt with things or dealt with my frustrations a lot differently than I do now. I think obviously I was younger and just more of a hothead, and
like, that sounds like you were like, listen, don't test me today. I'm not coming out my trailer. Or did you even have trailers?
No, we didn't even have trailers there. We had like dressing rooms. It was a strange environment. It's like they had the kids, us lot who were playing school kids, and then they had the actors who were playing teachers, like separated from each other. Mm-hmm. It was very bizarre, but I got on like really well with, people who were not necessarily playing school kids. Mm-hmm. And so it was strange. It was a strange environment.
So the teachable moment for that going forward?
For me, definitely, I remember, the teachable moment was I just needed to be a lot more patient.
Okay.
Kind of like pick your battles. And that's what it is, genuinely on set. You can't go off and, like every time you're pissed off or any time someone gets on your nerves, you just can't. It's not any way to act.
But it's fun.
And sometimes, a good thing that I learned, and because I remember at the time, I just didn't possess the skill. I just couldn't hide how I was feeling. And I still now, like, I might be saying one thing, but anyone that knows me can see it. It's all written all over my face.
Right,
like,
if I
like something or like someone, I can't hide it. And at the time, my whole attitude and demeanor just told you exactly how I felt about you, which when you're working with people in a professional capacity, ain't always the greatest.
I guess 5 years on, you have now entered the big bucks into Netflix.
The Netflix.
Congrats. How was that experience for you? How was working on a production of Haunting of Bly Manor for you?
Oh man, it was incredible. I can't even lie. Like, I genuinely couldn't believe it. I remember I would call up my agent every 2 days and be like, are you sure? But are you sure that I've got the job? Are you sure?
Why were you disbelieving?
Okay, so I've done other jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you might take for the role, okay? Then you get called in, you get a call back. Then you get called in again.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a chemistry read with the other actors. Then you've got to meet with the producer and the da-da-da-da-da. And then you may not even get the job, or you might get it. And it's like, woof, goddamn, like you know, you worked for it, you went back and back and learned more lines and da 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 da. Anyway, Blind Manor, I got a tape through and I did this tape and it was, you know, it was a long tape. There were two really, really long scenes, like maybe 6 minutes or something each. And I did it with my friend, a good friend, Zachary Momo.
Hi.
And I remember him going, yo, like, I think you got this. And you know, like, we're actors, we tape all the time. We tape, and you send them off and you may not hear anything or you might hear something. So it was just like another one, like, okay, you know, no, these tapes are good, but cool. And then literally a week later, I got a call saying, yeah, you've booked the job. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, do you mean they want to meet me or like, a call back or something? She was like, no, you booked it. Wow. And I couldn't believe that I just didn't believe it. Mm. Didn't see it real until I actually flew over there and was like, okay, all right, they can't take this away from me. But yeah, no, I'm like a big kid. So for me, like my first day on set, I was gassed. I was just like, right, you know what? 10-year-old me would be like, this is like incredible. And I feel like the moment I get to a stage where I don't feel excited when going to set or getting on set for the first time will be like a very sad day. But for now, sure. I'm always like that. I'm always like, wow, this is so cool.
I find it mad interesting, like when actors go for roles in horrors now or anything of that, or supernatural, anything of that nature. Like, I always feel like there's some type of like superstition or, you know, when everyone who was like on The Exorcist, like there was something...
He's trying to say, have you brought a duppy home with you after being on Blind Manor? I mean, but yeah, it's that.
That is the thing, right? Because I always used to think that as well. I'm a horror fan though. Like I've loved horror since I was a kid because I just like dark things and like the unknown and stuff. But one thing I never messed with, whether it was reading it, watching films, even now, is any type of like conjuring business.
Yes. Yeah, oh my God. Sorry, I have to say yes, because I feel like when they start talking, what is that? Where do they get the language from?
I don't know.
I don't want to know. No. I will literally mute the TV. I don't want to be inviting anything into my life.
What would you have done if that was in your script though? If you had to like come.
I think what am I going to do? I think I'd have to say like, I don't think I can say these words.
Yeah, I'd have to. Just,
I try and find a way around it. I don't know because And the thing with Blind Manor is it was different because it's drama, right? It's essentially a drama that has like this kind of supernatural horror element to it, and where things are just happening around the human beings. It's not them conjuring up these ghosts or inviting them in. You know what I mean? And so like. You know, that was all good to me.
So just to go back, you said that it was great. What made it so great and being on this project in general?
I think I'm a fan of horror anyway. Oh, okay. I'm a fan of Mike Flanagan, who created it before this audition come up or anything. So when it came up, it was like, whoa, like this, I would love to be involved, because as an actor, that's what you want to do. You want to work on projects and with creators who you admire and whose work you rate. You know, and also the production value is high and the grandeur of it and, you know, the sets are huge and everything was just on a whole different scale than what I had been doing. And so it was, you know, and like the experiences that you get to have, and it's just, yeah, it's just so cool. And also just being in a different country and a city that you may not have maybe taken yourself to, but that has so much to do and see and explore, you know, just everything, all of that.
Where were you?
We filmed in Vancouver in Canada.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Scale, like every time I see her Instagram, she's in another country filming.
Oh, she's that girl.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, mate. Okay.
Romania, Vancouver, Morocco, like everywhere.
Okay, she's that girl.
Very jealous, yeah. So we're going to bring your high back down now. what's the worst no you've ever had?
Ha, well, I remember it quite well. Because it was last year and I want to say 2 months or so before I booked Blind Manor. I taped for this role. Got called in. Ooh, got called in. Sick. Get called in. walked out of the door. I remember literally leaving that audition room and like going on my phone and being like, right, I got a voicemail, listening to it, and it was from my agent, and she was like, I don't know what you did in there, but they absolutely love you.
Oh, wow.
And they will see you tomorrow again. And I was like, oh, okay. Went in the next day, a third time, everyone's there, the director, the casting director, the producers, the writers, like there's a lot of people in this room. So I remember thinking in my head, oh, this is serious. If everyone's in the room, I've got a good chance of getting this. And then the more you go back, the closer you get and the more you want it. That was three times. Then it was like, okay, cool. Can you come in and do a chemistry read with the other actors? Jeez. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Done that. Can you come in again and do a chemistry read with some other actors that we've got in mind? Oh, damn. Okay, five times now. Anyway, didn't hear anything. A week later, I get this, it's a lead role. It's, all this kind of stuff. I get a missed call from my agent, and she's basically just explaining in the voicemail, it didn't go your way, da-da-da-da-da, oh, they loved you, da-da. But, after you hear it didn't go your way, it's just like, doesn't I don't matter. Even care what they
yeah.
say. I don't care if you loved me. You didn't love me that much, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember at the time, it literally felt like someone had punched me in my stomach, like finding out that I didn't get that role, because I'd like, it's not like when you don't get a role and you can even see yourself and go, nah, I wasn't really right for it, or I didn't really learn the lines, or I didn't put the work in. You can make peace with that. But I remember that whole process. I had like, oof, they'd thrown new scenes at me every day. I had to read a book, I had to learn, I had to like cry, I had to, it was all this kind of stuff. It was so emotionally draining. And I remember feeling so pissed off that they had the audacity not to give me that role.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so it just played on my brain. And I remember saying to my agent, I remember just going, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what else I could have done.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally nothing else I could have done in that room, because I left it all in there on the floor.
Right.
And I remember saying to her, I don't know, like, what to, like, I genuinely was just having, like, a kind of moment. And I was like, I just don't know. I don't know if I can do this, because it's too much. Like, it's too much. Like, it's not like someone goes, oh, but you should have prepared better, or I don't know, you should have made these character choices better. Like, no one was saying that. Mm. And then I remember, kind of like finding out who got it and just being like, yeah, I'm done. I'm out. I don't know. You've chosen someone completely the opposite of how I look and everything. Like, okay. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Which was annoying. Yeah, anyway. And
so are you gonna say what it was?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not gonna
just check it. Just you didn't have to. It's fine. I was just being
I'm gonna say what it was. But it was incredibly difficult, and the person was not black or anything like that. And I remember that played on my mind a lot as well. And really actually and kind of got me down for a while. And then I got Bly Manor, and it's just interesting, this whole thing. And I thought, wow, what's mad is that if I'd got the other one, I wouldn't have been able to do Bly Manor. And actually thinking about it, I mean, like, Bly Manor was like way better job for me, and role and everything, platform. And it just like, it just goes to show, like, geez, like, when you're getting no's, and it's so easy, because me and my friends, we tell each other this all the time, don't worry, because the reasons as to why you haven't booked this, or the reasons as to why this hasn't worked out, are going to reveal themselves.
Yeah.
In time. Like,
it's hard to see.
Yeah.
But that was such a prime example for me, and I'll take that on as well. I'll take that with me. Nah, that other job was not for me. It wasn't for me. Bly Manor was, and that's what came my way. And I needed to get rejected from that other one for Bly Manor to happen, and that's just how it goes sometimes.
So would you say that Bly Manor was the most rewarding yes you've ever had, or is there a bigger yes you've ever had?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the scale of the project, Bly Manor was definitely a huge yes. And because I kind of knew, suddenly I knew, I was aware of its success as a series already and how much people it was going to put me in front of. So yeah, for sure, I was, that was a big, big yes. But actually, one of the most rewarding yeses, a play called Moon on the Rainbow Shawl, and it was at the National Theatre.
Yeah, I know that one.
7-8 years ago,
yeah,
something.
I remember. Yeah.
And again, that was so rewarding because it was like I'd, you know, gone to this audition and I'd really put in effort again, like with how I'd paired and learned and done the accent and you know, all this kind of stuff and presented myself and then gone back and read and da 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 and like found quotes to kind of, I don't know, to kind of add to the character and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so when I got that, and I remember walking out of that audition going, nah, you deserve this one. Like, you deserve it. You've done everything you could. And then getting it was like, okay. It was like validation.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful time. I had a wicked time on that show.
I thought you were going to say Dries Barber's, but that's cool. It's fine.
Yeah, I heard.
No, it's fine.
We're running out of time because you've got to go because you've got big things to do and we've got more things to do with you. But I just wanted to, I think a really important and pertinent question I need to ask is, you worked on a project with a guy called, I think his name's Leon Main, and I think it was something called Drew's Barbers or something like that. What was it like working with someone like Leon Main? Because I've heard things in the industry. I just want to know what your take, what your take is working with someone like him.
You don't have to answer, Zira. You're not under wrong.
I feel like you should. And I feel like everyone needs to know the truth.
Hey, do you want me to be honest?
No, for real, for real. This is it now. Oh. Come on.
No, are you being serious? Yeah?
No, I'm like deadly.
Oh my God.
Okay. Mm. Well, it was probably... arguably one of
shit man
fun experiences I've ever
no
had
to hear yeah, a, no to hear no nah, sorry
in
nah.
your face
all right cut in your cut face. Start again look this is the close this is the closed face. Set it's in the closed face. Protected set everything okay it's all right I knew you were gonna say that come on we gotta go what's going what's the next question this is not the way I wanted it to go
wow fine Is there a project out there that you wish you were in or that you wish you made?
Yes, there is actually. I don't know that it's been released yet.
Oh.
Hey, them ones.
Yeah, I don't think it's been released. I mean, I think it's finished, but I think because of...
It doesn't necessarily have to be something that you've auditioned for.
Just in general, just like something that you've seen.
I know, but you know what's mad is that... okay, so what... Because it's based on a series of books, and I'm an avid reader, and so when I read the books years ago, I was like, I want to be in this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make a sick TV show, and I want to be in it. So when it came around, I was like, I couldn't believe it. Didn't get the role.
What is it? You can't say.
No, I can say. It's called Shadow and Bone. And it's quite, you know, it's quite dark, but I think the only, how would I describe it? I would describe it as kind of like maybe think of something like a mashup of like Harry Potter and maybe Game of Thrones.
What? Who's it by?
Lee Bardugo.
Okay, no, I don't know that.
It's set in this kind of like reality where people are there are different people possess like some people possess like powers but there's varying levels of like how much power you possess and so therefore you're treated accordingly but it's very adult and also what I liked about it is it's not just like oh yeah fantasy woo woo powers yay abracadabra it's like dealing with like very very real themes that humans deal with like on it even though they just happen to possess these powers it doesn't stop the other shit from like happening to them and it's just it's very dark and it's so fucking heartbreaking but it's so cool and if they don't do it right like I don't even care that I'm not in it now like, I wanted to be in it but if they don't do it right I'm gonna be so mad
I want to read the series now I want to read those books
great. My street. Yeah Shadow and Bone
what are you watching right now Era.
Oh, I've just started Lovecraft Country.
Well done. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying that. I'm like maybe halfway through at the minute.
Okay.
But I'd heard like great things about it and so I was like, yeah, I want to check it out and I'm really enjoying that so far. really kind of like excitedly waiting for The Handmaid's Tale to return.
Excitedly is a strong word, because I think I love the show, but it's also super scary. I don't want the manual to what's happening in the next few years.
I see what you mean. The thing is, though, it was, again, I read that book
time ago,
The Handmaid's Tale. And Margaret Atwood, who wrote it, she wrote it in like, she would have written it in the 70s.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I just think they've done such a good job with like updating it to kind of like a contemporary setting. But yeah, it's terrifying.
No, it's literally, I can't. Do you watch it?
I started watching season one and I just haven't continued. Not because it's bad, I just haven't finished it.
This is
would I survive in that?
Yeah, you would. Okay, patriarchy, down with it.
Let me watch it.
Yeah, you would. It's a lot, man. It's
a lot.
It is a lot.
It'll make you hate men and then mine.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
Yeah, and you will be like, yeah. So, anyway.
Sorry.
It upsets me. Okay, so we got this thing, right? We want you to drop some knowledge for the gram. Now, basically, what we mean by that is, if I was sharing to hear his picture, and then I'm gonna have a quote from you, what would be your quote that will forever be, you know, your I have a dream quote?
Just like, don't want to get too cliche here.
But it's, you know, it'd be your cliche. Own your cliche.
I would say, try to shut out all of the negative noise that is inevitably going to come at you throughout your life, right? Because most of the time, the negative thoughts that we have about our appearances or us as people does tend to come and be influenced quite heavily from the outside. And I would say, like, if I could give that advice to anybody or to my younger self, like, listen, man, when someone tells you you're not this enough or whatever enough, or, oh, you've got a whatever, whatever, don't listen to it, because there's so many times, whether it was the way that I looked or acted, that it never occurred to me that it was something bad. I was always quite kind of confident with myself. And then someone saying something about probably like my nose or my lips or something. And suddenly that, I remember becoming fixated on that and like, oh yeah, it does look like how they said it did. And I just think a lot of the time people are projecting their own bullshit onto you.
Mm.
And try to shut it out. That's all I would say. Just try to shut out all the negative noise. Don't listen to people telling you that you can't do this, you can't do that. You're not tall enough, short enough, pretty enough, thin enough, big enough, da 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 da. Like, it's just all noise. And that's what I try to do. I just think, I'll shut up. Like,
so which one is your quote? Is it shut out all the negative noise? Is it just shut up, or... What was the other one? You just said one and I just forgot it. You said one just before and it sounded good as well.
I think it would be shut out all the negative noise. And if anybody tells you you're not good enough, tell them to shut up.
Yes, we shall truncate that. Okay. Okay, this is a very fantastic game, yeah?
Sorry in advance.
No.
Yeah?
No.
Sorry in advance.
No. You can't just stop it.
I just have to pre-warn people, you know?
Anyway, this game is fantastic. It's like from the mind of a genius. Yeah. Of course I made it up, but from a mind of a genius. Anyway, it's called Name This TV Show, Movie Show, TV Game Show. That's what it's called.
Wow.
There's a lot of shows.
That's what it's called, film, TV show, name, game. Okay, so basically, we've got five shows that you got to guess. And because you like horror, we've picked horror, film, and TV shows, yeah. Right?
Why did you look at me like
that? I don't know, because... So this is how it goes. We're going to give you four clues, and you have to get it. So the first clue we give you is probably like odd words from the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second clue we're going to give you is how many words there are in the title.
Okay.
Right? The third clue we'll give you is one word to describe the film or TV show.
Got it.
And then the fourth clue is a description of one of the characters from this project, right? And each time, if you get it on the first go, you get a certain amount of points. If you get it and it goes down every time, you just don't get it until you don't get it. And you can phone a friend, which is Leon, who's a traitor because he's supposed to be on my side, but he'll give you all the clues and answers because he's a traitor.
Because your rules are impossible.
No, they're not.
However, I think this one, now that we know that you're a big horror fan, it might be easier for you.
I think it will be easy, and Leon made all of these questions easy.
Apologies. Okay.
All right, well,
we'll see.
Okay, let's go. So the first one, go on, you do the first one.
All right, so the first one, clue, a word in the title is from.
Okay.
I mean, you're a horror fan, you should know what this is, to be honest.
What? Oh, hang on, wait, hang on. From Dusk Till Dawn?
Well done, but no.
That was a good guess, though. You can carry on guessing, or if you want another clue, let us know.
Okay, I need another clue.
All right, there are four words in the title.
You're lying to me, man. It's From Dusk Till Dawn.
No. I mean, no.
No, it's not.
It's actually not.
Okay, can I ask, like, where the from is in the...
Unfortunately, or can she? See, look at Leon. Wants to tell all the answers. Just give the whole title.
No, it just depends. No, that you can't say that.
Film.
It's a film.
Film, okay, yeah. There's four, but where... Can you just at least tell me, like, is from...
It's, you see your hand and your fingers are up. It's on one of them fingers.
Oh my gosh, come on.
Do you want the third clue? Because you're just not...
It's not even a clue, really.
It is a clue, all actually. Right, cool. Do you want the third clue?
Well, Leon just said it's not a clue.
It is, actually. It's facts. Do you want the third clue?
Oh, all right, go on. I might as well.
Anthology. You're a horror fan, dear. You're supposed to be an expert.
Wait, it's a film.
Yes. And within the film, there's an anthology of stories. That's a big clue.
That is actually a clue.
That is a great clue.
But yeah, it's a clue.
See what Leon said? He said it's a clue. It's not a big clue.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a clue.
Within a clue.
What? No. You know what? If you were a horror fan, you would get the original right. You wouldn't get this one right.
Oh, just no.
Yeah.
Anyway, last clue, because obviously, or you can phone a friend. You can phone the cheater, Leon.
What the hell am I going to give? Go on.
You don't even know the answer to this.
I do know.
Okay.
I'm going to phone a friend.
Phone this friend.
Hello, Tiara. it's a black horror. And I think it was directed by Spike Lee.
Oh my God. You just give her all the roses and flowers.
Yes, yeah, it's a hard one. It's directed
by Spike Lee. It's not even hard.
And it's like a version of another... Cult classic horror.
See, I'd probably get the cult classic, but I ain't going to get this because I can't think of any horror that Spike Lee's directed.
You kids.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
He's actually directed two.
It was kind of before our time.
Don't go on like I was born in freaking 1800.
No, I'm just saying.
But before our time. Get out, both of you. Okay, fourth clue. Do you want the fourth clue? Because you need the fourth clue.
I'm done at it. Yeah,
a slave doll gets its revenge.
A slave doll?
Yes.
Gets its revenge.
Yes.
I wouldn't have got it either.
No clue.
Okay.
No clue whatsoever.
Tales from the Hood.
See, I told you. No one knows.
I mean, have you heard?
I know that I've heard of Tales from the Crypt. See?
Yes, Tales from the Crypt is the original, and Tales from the Hood in the '90s was a bad boy film. Uh-huh. You lot don't know your history. This is what happens, you kids. You're lost children.
All right. So currently, Tiara, you got 0 points. You can still make up. There's four more to guess from. Just try not to get the lowest points, which I think is 8 or 9.
Yes.
And that is Rachel Delahaye and Teresa Coco.
Teresa Coco.
Yeah. So this next horror project, the clue, the word in the project is box.
It's so fucking...
Third box.
Yeah, there you go.
See, this was Leon's one. You know, this is...
I had to balance it because no one was going to get the first one.
It's like, thank you.
Cool.
Why are you cheering? It's them and us.
Listen, there has to be some type of joy in this game for somebody.
Okay, number whatever, number three. Okay. So the clues we're going to give you, so the words from the title we're going to give you are you and the.
Okay. Wait, these are all horrors? Or
yeah.
Like,
yes.
Horror film or TV shows.
And this one is what, a TV show?
Scary film or TV shows.
It's a TV show.
It's on the TV show. Okay. Next clue.
There are six words in a title.
So it's a long title. That helps. It really helps.
Oh, but my mind's gone blank.
What I like about this game is that everybody in the room tries to guess as well.
It's great. Do you know it?
And has anyone got it?
No one's got it.
Did you see?
That's not my fault. That's
it is.
I feel like everyone turns on the Games Master. I just thought these up.
You'll get it on the next clue, I think.
Oh my days.
Oh my gosh, don't say that.
Okay, clue three. Or phone a friend. What do you want? Phone a friend or clue three?
Wait, if I phone a friend, do I lose any points?
You don't actually, no. Which is something I need to factor into the next season.
All right, I'm going to phone a friend.
Hello, Tiara.
Useless friend.
And this is his one.
All right. Nickelodeon.
Oh my days, you cheater.
Nickelodeon.
Just said, man, that we didn't watch a bunch of TV growing up.
See, that's your fault.
Oh wow.
There was no cable in the house or Sky.
Okay, clue three then. Let's give you clue three.
Look at you.
Clue three. Campfire. So you and the are in the title. Six words in the title. Set in a campfire. Was on Nickelodeon.
Oh, no, maybe you don't know.
And what, like, what, around what time?
That would have been 90s Nickelodeon. It would have been around the times of like Sister Sister and Keenan and Kel and Sabrina Teenage Witch and that, I think.
I mean, I literally was born in 2004, so I don't know.
Yeah, I watched on cable, Nickelodeon. I was born when?
2004.
I'm going to have to start using that one.
The final clue is...
She didn't even ask for it, did she?
She's going to have to because she's not guessing. A teenage master storyteller is a character in this show. Tahira, you're going... Look, for the, you're repping whoever you're repping and you're not repping.
Have you got it?
I don't know what kind of... Someone got it?
Have you got it? No, no one's got it. Oh, wow. No. Am I the only person who watched it?
Yes.
No, that's... Like, it was a super... Sorry?
These are some of these films... Some of these films are too niche.
This is a TV show.
It's not niche at all.
This one
it's called,
here.
Okay, do you want the title? Go on and finish what you were saying.
Wait, no, hang on. But okay, just give me the first three words and just see
if I... How?
You're just making rules up, right?
How,
Sway? Would that be half a point?
That'd be none.
Okay.
just for bants.
Okay, bants. Just for bants because, you know, you've not got the points.
Are you afraid?
Oh, are you afraid of the dark? I see. Do you know what? But none of that. The campfire, the master story, teenage.
The campfire where they all camp around it.
I don't think I can really remember. I know the title, but I just don't remember.
You
like
failed, Leon. He was like, "She's gonna get this. You're gonna get this. Gonna get
I
this."
It was easy.
The word we're going to give you is house, and you're going to get it, and I'm really annoyed. House.
Huh?
His house.
Okay. See what I'm saying? So he's just jumped up to 8 points for no reason.
So angry, like. Why are you so angry? It was your clue. I mean, it was your show, wasn't it? Your project.
I said do a syllable. I said do owl or something.
That's not a syllable.
Or is it? It's a sound from the word.
Jesus.
That's what I wanted. Now go on. Last one.
All right, last one.
Anyway, who did this one now?
I did.
Okay.
Sorry, in advance. The two words from the title are the and the.
Right, well, that helps.
It does help. It's very informative. The and the.
Right, yeah. Okay, second clue.
Five words in the title. So the and the and the and the and the. Yeah.
Wait,
I don't know. I don't even know.
And this is a film or a TV show?
It's a film.
Apparently a cult popular film. Not cult because it's not old, but it's...
No, it's...
When was it made?
2012, I think. It did well, I think.
So only you went to see it, okay.
I haven't even seen it.
This is the thing. Look at that. He hasn't even seen it.
I've not even seen it. Well, you know what? There are certain horror films I watch in like bits and pieces.
Because he's a scaredy cat.
No, because like, I'll go down a rabbit hole of like watching scenes of horror films. I don't know why. Like trailers and stuff. It's weird.
Okay, let's
Don't mind
go.
Me.
Clue three. Do you want clue three or do you want to phone a friend?
Go on then. I'll phone this useless friend.
Hello, dear. How are you doing? You're all right.
Yeah, you're going to help me out this time.
I think so. I don't know.
Something that he hasn't seen, yeah?
Something that I've not seen.
Well, you haven't even seen it.
I've not even seen it. So, damn. Every clue I have is in the title. It's quietly annoying.
Oh, dear me.
Science is used in it, sort of.
Science?
Sort of.
This is a terrible clue. Even I, as a games master.
So it's kind of like, it's a film that you think is a generic film, but then science is using it to make it a little bit different.
She hasn't
like
even
a generic
seen
horror film. You know, like loads of teenagers go to one spot.
Oh, The Cabin in the Woods.
Oh my God.
There you go.
You just told her the whole damn story.
I didn't have a clue because I haven't seen it properly.
You just said a bunch of teenagers.
So, yeah, which is like
new
every
rules,
horror film
new
ever.
Rules. When you phone a friend, you lose 14 points. That's it.
No, but that's a new rule from now on, not from now. Yeah. So how, so I didn't lose any points. How much points have I got?
You got you literally 11.
Woo, okay, I'll take that.
That's good. That's it. Like...
That's jumping to almost the top. Like in, who in got the top? Who's got...
I think Papa Sadie's on 14.
No, Liberties.
Okay.
I'm revising this game immediately. This heads are going to roll in my own little games town.
Well done.
Okay, final thing. Before we let you go, you have to tell us a story.
We got 3 minutes.
We got 3 minutes. Okay. So we got this thing called the process, right? We get everyone that comes in to tell a story, to continue a story that someone else has started. Teresa Coco started it, and the last person to continue it was... Who? Oh.
Cherie Myers. Yes.
So you were supposed to do a summation of this.
I was, because a queer is basically like written what everybody said, but it's now become this massive...
thing.
Treatment.
Yes.
And it needs to be consolidated. I started consolidating it.
You failed in your homework.
I'm going to try, all right? So this is a black mythological fantasy.
Ooh.
So Earth is in peril, but nobody on Earth knows this yet.
Ooh, okay.
All of the gods have gathered to find a solution, but they're at war. So the gods, you know, the Haitian gods, the Greek gods, the Nigerian gods.
All the gods.
They've come together to find a solution, but they're also at war at the same time. Mm-hmm. Our antagonist is Shungo. He is the god of war. And rather than sign a treaty with all of the gods to try and save Earth, he wants to cause mayhem. So he's going to find his own way towards Earth. Now, the way the gods get onto Earth is via sculptures.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So there is a character called Tosin. She is a sculptor and she sculpts gods. And that's how they get onto Earth.
Okay.
This is the part where it gets a bit mad. So her brother... is a contestant on
90 Day Fiancé.
90 Day Fiancé, right?
Do you see how difficult this is?
Oh my god.
Hold on, let me find that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, her brother Papa is a contestant on 90 Day Fiancé. And the camera crew follows these day ins and day outs of what he's doing in life. Mm-hmm. Now, his sister is the one that sculpts
the
statues, right? He goes to her workshop, and then a producer from 90 Day Fiancé steals
one of the statues. Okay,
all right, and that is how
Shungo
gets onto Earth. Right, sorry. Okay. Now, go on.
Yeah, Shungo goes to the producer's house, commands the producer's wife. He now just takes over the place, and now he's running 90 Day Fiancé. Go.
He's now running 90 Day Fiancé. Now.
Tahira looks scared, by the way.
Another strand.
Terrified.
This is the one that I didn't have a chance to even look at properly. The Angel Gabriel. route. So, Angel Gabriel has been in the ice capsule since...
Archangel love, yeah.
Yep. And... Did you say heaven is overheating?
Well, basically, where he is, heaven is overheating because Shungo is loving the fame. Oh, wait, what? Yeah, Shungo's loving the fame, by the way. And Angel Gabriel's like really mad because Shungo isn't doing what he's supposed to do. I don't even know where Shungo and Gabriel cross paths, but somehow they have in Cherie's mind. So now Shungo's failing in his tasks on Earth. So Gabriel's come down to Earth. He jumps and lands in Shoreditch High Street. And he's on a mission to find Shungo, who Gabriel believes actually is on a mission from Satan. Yet ironically, it's Satan who sent Gabriel to the ice capsule instead of a fire den, whatever that means. So Gabriel's vexed and he says, nah, my man has had me in ice. So he strolls past Box Park, takes a right, stumbles on a strip club, and the man on the door says, you can't come in here with those, mate, because he's still got his wings. So Gabriel says, okay, watch me. He steps over the threshold, his wings melt because it's sinful, obviously. And as Gabriel walks in, a stripper called Magnum Tonic Wine approaches him. And she says, do you want to come into...
Who came up with that?
This is Cherie Myers.
I think Cherie did, yeah.
Do you want to come into the back room? And that's where she left it. So my love to hear her, in about the few minutes we have left with you, could you please continue the story? Bearing in mind everything you've just heard, think about yourself in the role, put yourself in this film. Let's go.
So Angel Gabriel has been taken to the back room by Magic Tonic Wine. Magnum Tonic Wine.
She's approached him and says, do you want to come to the back room?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Magnum Tonic Wine takes him to the back room.
Mm-hmm.
And her friend, Red Label.
Wait. Okay, already you're starting. Already. Okay, go ahead.
co-worker, Red Label, comes in. And they start dancing sexily for him.
Oh, right.
So he starts to enjoy it and get into it and forget the fact that his wings have melted off, because he wants to partake in the pleasures of the flesh.
Right.
So whilst all this is happening and Gabriel's being mesmerized, Red Label, unbeknownst to Gabriel, Red Label has a tiny pair of wings on her back.
Right.
And for reasons unknown, but will later become clear.
Well played.
The more she seduces Gabriel, the bigger her wings will become.
Wow.
And when her wings are fully grown, she can fly and get back into the heavens.
Wait, what?
Which is where she originally began life. This is just her human form.
Right.
That's good, sir. So far.
Okay.
I like that.
Fine.
She only had a couple minutes, you know?
Oh, is that it? Okay, fine. So she's gone back to heaven.
No.
Oh, she hasn't gone.
She's not back to heaven yet.
Okay.
But the more she seduces Gabriel, the bigger her wings get. So her wings are growing, but she's not. But it means for us as viewers, we know that once her wings are fully grown, she can fly and get back into heaven. But she's got to sacrifice Gabriel for that. Not kill him, but she's got to sacrifice
his power.
Angel powers and wings and make him forget that he ever was an angel. And now he's just a dirty human.
And now he's just a dirty human. That's what I'm going to end on.
That's interesting. As soon as the gods come down to earth, like, they lose
their godly, like, the godly, yeah, the godlike behavior. They become dirty humans.
Dirty humans.
They're part of the problem.
They are. Does it?
Well, the earth is more powerful than they thought.
Exactly. Listen, it's not your story.
Sorry. Just, you know, making sense of it.
trying to get involved. It's not his story. Trying to get credits and shit.
Oh, really?
Thank you so much, Tahira.
Thank you, Tahira. We appreciate it.
That was fun. Thank you so much.
What are you shooting?
Yes.
Oh, we haven't actually started shooting, even though I've been in been in about 2 weeks.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Sorry. I just put whatever. Fine and false. Fine. Why have you been there for so long? 2 weeks and you haven't started filming?
Yeah, COVID stuff. Oh.
Logistical stuff and whatnot.
Gotcha.
We start shooting on Monday.
Okay.
And it's a film called Lumina, and it's about these group of friends, and one of them gets abducted.
Oh no.
And we kind of end up going to search for her, and it's about everything that kind of happened along the way.
I see.
Between these friends and people they meet, and if they ever find her again.
What genre is it?
I would say it's like a thriller, possibly thriller horror. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And will there be a Christmas Prince 4?
Them franchise
girl there.
Yeah.
The gift that just keeps giving. I don't know that there will be. I heard, like, you know, on the grapevine, like, very faint rumors of there being like a, you know, a kind of a, what do they call it again?
Spin-off.
There were things about that. Spin-off. Then there was like a mashup of like all the kind of different Christmas movies kind of like blending into one and visiting different kingdoms and stuff. But I think probably not. Like, never say never.
Sure.
Who knows? I don't know, but not this year.
Okay.
Not this Christmas.
Fair enough. All right, my love. We shall let you go.
Thank you.
Lovely talking to you guys.
And you, my love. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Take care. This has been The Circle. Do we normally do an outro? I don't even know.
No, we don't. We just, like, okay. Just fade out into
this. This has been The Circle. I'm Akua.
Circle.
Exactly. Circle.
Made a theme song.
Where
can we find you?
I am the most easiest thing. I'm not on really anything else, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram. Twitter I don't really use, so Instagram's the best way to find me, and it's just my name, Tahira_Sharif, verified.
We got blue ticks. Congrats. Up in here.
Blue ticks
up in here, man. Yeah. Alright,
cool,
thanks.
Yeah, take wicked. Care. Thanks, guys.
No problem. Good night. Bye.